At the hospital. Orders hastily shouted and promptly obeyed. One sharp needle and a nurse had drawn blood, another sharp poke and the IV was in place. A third probing stab and Nathan had been catheterized. Nathan's 26-pound frame writhed in the middle of the hospital bed, jerking continuously as he fought to sit. His cheeks were on fire, sweat rolling down his limbs. His abdomen protruded painfully while his chest appeared concave as he gasped and heaved for breath. A resident was reporting, "Severe epigastric pain." A nurse was shouting, "Temp 102, heart rate 150, BP 115 over 40. Dr. Rocco was already barking out commands. "I need 2 milligrams morphine, cold compresses, TPN nutrition. Come on, people, move!" The first time Catherine had been through this drill, she had trembled uncontrollably. Now she was grim-faced as a combat veteran as two people pinned Nathan's writhing body to the bed and two others sliced off Nathan's cowboy print pajamas and slapped on wires for the heart monitor. Nathan screamed in pain. They held him harder. So it went. On and on and on, Nathan fighting for his life and the hospital staff fighting with him. Afterwards, when the worst had passed, when the nurses and residents had moved on to more pressing cases, when only Nathan remained, unconscious, breathing strained, a tiny form lost in the middle of the metal-framed hospital bed, Dr. Rocco took her aside.
"Catherine, I know things must be difficult at home right now."
"You think?" The words came out too harshly. Catherine regretted her tone almost immediately. She turned her head away from Dr. Rocco and stared at the walls, which were really much too white. She could hear the beep of Nathan's monitor, faithfully counting out the rhythm of his heart. Sometimes she heard that sound in her sleep.
"Jimmy, we have to do something about Nathan."
"Jesus, Catherine, can't you leave the poor boy alone?"
"Jimmy, look at him. He's sick. Really, really sick."
"Is he? None of these fancy tests you order ever prove anything. Maybe the problem isn't with Nathan, Cat. I'm beginning to wonder. Maybe the problem's with you."
"Catherine, he has pancreatitis again. That's the third time this year. Given his heart and the rest of his health, he can't keep battling these kinds of infections. His liver is enlarged. He's still showing signs of malnutrition, and worse, he's lost a pound since I saw him last. Have you been following the special diet we discussed? Lots of small meals, only soy products?"
"It's hard to get him to eat."
"What about favorite foods?"
"He likes the soy yogurt, but even then, after a bite or two, he's done."
"He's got to eat."
"I know."
"He must take his vitamins."
"We're trying."
"Catherine, 4-year-olds don't get anorexia. 4-year-olds don't starve themselves to death."
"I know," she whispered helplessly. "I know."
And then, more tentatively,
"Isn't there anything else you can do?"
"Catherine."
The doctor sighed. Now he stared at the walls, too.
"I'm recommending you to Dr. Iorfino," he said abruptly.
"You're sending me to another doctor?"
"He can see you on Monday, 3 p.m.
"But another doctor will mean more tests."
She was flabbergasted.
"Nathan is tired of tests."
"I know."
"Tony..."
The word came out as a plea. She was sorry the instant she said it. Dr. Rocco finally looked at her.
"The head of pediatrics has formally asked me to remove myself from this case. I'm sorry, Catherine, but my hands are tied."